Since 2018, ad revenue at YouTube has grown 77%. What's more, the pandemic is responsible for only part of it. Crunchyroll grew subs 25% in 6 months, spurred on by lockdown viewers, but it has recruited Idris Elba to keep growth going. Listen on to find out more.
And welcome to this week's edition of the Video News End Screen Media Podcast. This is Will Richmond from Video News, and Colin Dixon from End Screen Media is with me. Hey, Colin, how's everything there?
Everything's doing well, Will. I was pretty much amazed at all the Golden Globe nominations that went to online providers. It really seems to have given TV a pasting this year.
Yeah.
So many.
Did I see Netflix got a third of nominations?
I think it might have been something outrageous like that. I know that a couple of the shows that I really enjoyed have got nominated. So I loved Queen's Gambit. That's in there somewhere. So it should be fun to watch the show when it happens and see how they do.
Definitely. In fact, I'm not even sure when are the Golden Globes.
Oh, I don't know. Yeah. I don't track them that closely, Will.
All right, well, should we go ahead and get started this week? I think we want to talk about YouTube's advertising revenue growth, really spectacular, reported as part of the Alphabet earnings earlier this week. And you are also going to take us through Crunchyroll's growth, which has been pretty amazing.
I am, yeah. So why don't we kick off with YouTube?
Definitely. So let's get started with YouTube. Just an amazing fourth quarter, a very strong quarter for the overall company, but a very strong quarter for YouTube in particular. So YouTube advertising revenue grew to $6.9 billion in Q4 20. That was up 46% from $4.7 billion in Q4 of 2019. So that's a pretty healthy result. And it's actually, just to kind of round out that picture a little bit, if you look at YouTube on an annual basis, their ad revenue in 2020 was about $19.8 billion. That was up from $15.1 billion in 2019 and $11.1 billion in 2018. So YouTube ad revenue is up about 77% in the past 2 years. And on the earnings call, and actually I should note that in Q4, YouTube ad revenue accounted for about 15% of Google's total ad revenue of $46.2 billion. And that was also up, that was from a year ago. In Q4 19, YouTube ad revenue was 12.4% of Google's total ad revenue. So YouTube, the short summary is YouTube is growing really fast, and it's becoming a more important part of Google's total advertising mix. And, you know, on the earnings call, Philip Schindler, who's Alphabet's SVP and Chief Business Officer, really pointed to, you know, how important for YouTube's ad growth, how important the macro trend of reduced linear TV viewing is, especially for younger audiences. And his quote was that they believe that YouTube now reaches more 18 to 49 year olds than all linear TV networks combined. And so, you know, you and I have talked about this on the podcast many times before, but this idea of younger audiences cutting the cord and not watching any linear TV is creating a huge problem for advertisers who target that young audience, and they just cannot get them and get them in enough quantity, enough frequency using conventional TV any longer, that streaming is becoming more and more important. And YouTube is clearly the 800-pound gorilla of ad-supported video streaming, and so they're disproportionately benefiting. So that's just the top line. I have some additional details I thought would be worth talking about related to what types of advertising on YouTube are doing especially well. But let me just stop there and get your reaction, Colin.
That 100 million number in the US, Will, 100 million people who are watching YouTube and YouTube TV on TV screens, I think that's kind of pivotal in helping to really drive up the usage. I know my usage of YouTube TV, YouTube has gone through the roof over the last few years. And it's primarily because I've got a couple of TVs now that have YouTube, YouTube built into the interface. They're based on Android TV. But even when I'm on Roku, where it's not built in, we still find ourselves spending a lot of time on television watching YouTube. And this has become a really critical market, I think, for YouTube in general. And as you said, you know, they say that for the 18 to 49 year olds, they've got better reach inside of that age group than linear TV nets combined. And they're really leaning into this. They've done a couple of things I noticed in the last year or so to really help with the TV, the TV in particular. They moved their YouTube masthead ads onto TV, so you can get the big ads when YouTube loads if you're willing to pay the money. And they've got their YouTube brand lift, which they can use to measure recall awareness, interest, those types of things. And they use a combination of survey and search term metrics. They look at what people are searching at. So they're really leaning into, I think, the opportunity on television. And I've got a feeling that some or a good proportion of the growth is coming from television, Will, because what we know is that the engagement on TV is just so much better than just about any other platform. So this all makes total sense to me, but it's still pretty breathtaking, the growth over the last year, right?
Yeah, no question. That's a great point. And one other thing is that this is just YouTube advertising revenue. There's all the subscription revenue as well, primarily from music and YouTube TV as well. Probably fair to say that YouTube's overall revenue exceeded $25 billion, or was somewhere around $25 billion maybe in 2020. And actually a year ago, I went back and looked at a post and I extrapolated some numbers from 2019 and thought it might be reasonable to think that they would hit $25 billion in 20, and I think it's likely that they did. But you know, back to your point about what type of advertising is working, I think there's no question that they're starting to pull some meaningful ad spending away from TV, again, particularly for younger audiences. But Schindler said on the earnings call that that sort of brand advertising was, in his words, hit hard in the early stages of the pandemic. But it did rebound in Q3 and Q4. However, he said the type of advertising that is actually growing the fastest for YouTube right now is what they call the direct response business, which he said is one of our largest and fastest growing ad offerings on YouTube. And it was practically non-existent 3 years ago. And about 6 months ago, YouTube actually shared some more details about how the direct response ad formats would work. And really, the main idea is to be able to, for advertisers to be able to put conversion opportunities adjacent to the video ad itself. And so, you know, there's an ad unit that they call TrueView for Action. The TrueView ad, of course, is the skippable ad after 5 seconds that we're all very familiar with. But the idea is that you could, there's examples of this, that you as a an advertiser could start including different thumbnails of different products that the viewer could click on, be able to see more about those specific products, and then be able to actually buy. So the idea is to have the video ad serve the full spectrum of the funnel, so all the way from brand awareness through to actual conversion. And Schindler noted that that type of approach, that full funnel approach, is really valuable to advertisers right now during the pandemic because their budgets have been squeezed and they need to make every dollar of ad spending go that much further. So to be able to accomplish both brand and conversion performance metrics, within the same unit is very valuable. And he said that the number of active advertisers using the TrueView for Action ad format doubled in the first 6 months of 2020, and that 60% of these advertisers are actually new to YouTube. So that format is obviously working very well for advertisers. And you know, back to your point, I don't think we've seen that format on TV yet, or at least I haven't seen it when I've looked at YouTube, when I've watched YouTube videos. But boy, that would be kind of interactive. Remember the old days of quote interactive TV? That would sort of bring that concept to life on the TV in a really meaningful way if they bring it over, don't you think?
It would, although I have to say, Will, there's still not a lot of evidence that consumers want it there. I mean, it's very, very different when you're watching in an interactive environment like on a smartphone or on a PC or something like that. But now might be the time to try it. You know, one of the things I did want to mention, you mentioned young people. And as our audience knows, I did a survey last year of parents, 3,000 parents working with WildBrain Spark, and released this report called Making Screen Time Family Time, which people can pick up from my website for free. And one of the things we asked about was YouTube, and boy, is it significant factor in viewing for kids. We found that 95% of parents use YouTube, and that 70% of the kids use YouTube as well. And I'm talking about YouTube, not YouTube Kids. YouTube Kids is also very popular. The most popular kids service that we asked about was 65% using it. But the reason I really want to mention it, Will, is that ads are really very effective with kids. We actually asked parents of kids that watch YouTube how effective the ads were with them. And what we found was pretty remarkable. We found that about 50% said that their kids, when they were watching with their kids paid as much attention, if not more attention, to the ad than to the show. And that only about 13% said that they really didn't pay any attention at all. So this was a very, very engaged set of viewers. And the second part of this that I think is so significant is kids are so influential on purchasing that their parents perform in a whole range of categories, from hygiene to fast food, just a whole range of categories that kids are tremendously influenced on spending. So, you know, it's not just adults that YouTube is engaging with and is a powerful advertising medium with, Will. It's the kids as well.
Yeah, no question. That's a great point. And no doubt, I think YouTube and others, for that matter, have been investing more aggressively in kids-oriented content. So they recognize that's a growth category. Colin, we want to switch over here to talk about Crunchyroll in a second, but I did just want to mention that one data point that YouTube did not share, Alphabet did not share, and they were not asked about on the earnings call, is how many subscribers YouTube TV now has. So we did not get any update on that relative to the 3 million subscribers that they had at the end of Q3. So that would have been meaningful to better understand what's happening with the virtual pay TV category. I think we're going to have earnings results from Fubo TV actually coming in a couple of weeks or so. That will be an interesting proxy. And what was the latest on Hulu also? I'm trying to remember what they were at, like 4 million?
I think it's 4.1 million.
4.1?
Was the last that they said. Yeah, it's very disappointing, isn't it, Will? The last we heard from them was 3 million. And, you know, Philip Schindler said something really interesting when people were asking him about YouTube and advertising, YouTube TV and advertising. And he said, YouTube TV continues to gain momentum. Our advertising efforts on YouTube TV itself is still very, very early. And I thought that was a very curious statement. bearing in mind that they've made a big point of the premium inventory that they can offer inside of YouTube TV. And, you know, to say that it's very, very early in that product, maybe he meant that it's just not very well penetrated, that it hasn't grown much from the 3 million. Who knows?
Yeah, I don't know how to interpret it, but I do think that the for the reasons that we talked about before, when you combine YouTube's reach, their monetization capability, the penetration that they now have of the connected TV market, it's a big opportunity they have in TV advertising. Really big opportunity.
I think it is too. But hey, maybe now's a good time to switch over and talk about the success that Crunchyroll is having.
Yeah, definitely. Let's switch gears. We were both excited about Crunchyroll's growth that they reported, and you're going to share a little more detail on that.
I am, and it seems like it was only just a few months ago that I was saying that they'd hit 3 million. And now they say they've added 1 million more subscribers in just the last 6 months. And this is absolutely amazing, because that's a 33% growth in 6 months. And the CEO said that she said, "We launched in 2006. It took us about 10 years to hit 1 million. It took us only 2 years after that to break 2 million, and even less than that to hit 3. And now here they are, breaking 4 million in just 6 months. They've also increased registered users from 70 million to 100 million. And there is this difference between subscribers and registered users. There's actually quite a lot of content that you can watch for free in some platforms from Crunchyroll with ads. So that's also an important component there. And they had another really interesting announcement, which one of the things that Joanne Wag, who's the CEO of Crunchyroll, one of the things that she said was that if we were at this precipice of adult dramatic animation really becoming something that is consumed on a mass scale, it's not just anime then, it's anime inspired, it's anime adjacent. And they've really been pushing what the definition of anime is. And they've just done a deal with Idris and Sabrina Elba to develop there's a co-production project that they're doing that really develops, they're calling it Dantai, which is, they say, an Afro-futuristic science fiction story. And it deals with the societal schism between biotechnology haves and have-nots, focusing on the battle between two stars from either side of the divide. And this, to me, sounds exactly like the sort of thing that they wanted to do, which was to broaden the definition of what anime is. And I think this is really significant, because AT&T announced that they were selling Crunchyroll to Sony's Funimation. That deal hasn't completed yet, and there's been no statement about when they think that will complete, but I assume it will be sometime this year. And it was a pretty decent size deal. They say it is $1.2 billion. But with growth like this, it looks like Crunchyroll is becoming a better and better deal for Funimation. And, you know, of course, it helps AT&T out, because they're debt-laden, so they get $1.2 billion in cash. But when you bring Funimation together with Crunchyroll, this is going to be the anime juggernaut outside of Japan, I suppose. And should be great, I think, for users of both services. This is a pretty big deal. So lots happening at Crunchyroll for them to continue to grow, I think.
Yeah, I agree. I'm going to admit that I am not an anime fan, so I'm not familiar with the genre. I am an Idris Elba fan, though. I still remember his memorable role as Stringer Bell in The Wire, if you ever saw that, one of the great characters. But it'd be interesting to see what he comes up with for Crunchyroll. And Colin, you got to believe that this is another example of a company that was a COVID winner. More people cooped up, and in turn, ramping up the subscriptions to different types of video services that they're interested in. And, you know, Crunchyroll is popular within, very popular, as you said, within that genre.
Yeah, I think you're right, Will. I think it is another example of being a COVID winner. I, if you're an anime fan and you've ever wanted time to spend more time with your particular interest, well, this certainly was it. And, it's just remarkable how quickly the service has grown. But I think, producing stuff like Dantai with Idris Elba, I think this is a great opportunity for them to continue to expand their audience and grow the audience into areas where they normally wouldn't go. So this is exactly what they said they wanted to do, and it's great to see them doing it.
Yep, absolutely. All right, Colin, we'll covered a lot of good ground here with both YouTube and Crunchyroll. We're going to certainly keep an eye on how both of them can, I think, continue to grow going forward. Don't you agree?
I agree. And this is another example of one other theme that we've seen touted this year, where we're seeing some consolidation in the SVOD universe. This could be an indication that, it's happening everywhere.
Yeah, agreed. Okay, Colin, good chatting as always. And everyone, thanks very much for listening in on our Video News and Screen Media podcast this week. And we'll see you all again next week.